Testament Aleph. The Mishnah, Hamafata Nosen Shlosha Dvarim, and we pointed out that there was a Heara of the Shita Mekubetzes. What happened if we're already adding in the world of Boshes and Pagam and Tsar? What happened to Shevet and Ripui? And the answer of the Shita Mekubetzes was that this is different than the normal Chabalah without really giving any explanation. But what we suggested, because we had dealt with these issues earlier, is that the normal Chabalah is when something is broken that was not meant to be broken. And over here we're dealing with something which is being broken that was meant to be broken, but under different circumstances, different times, with a different framework. But it's not the normal Chabalah, that the woman is omedet for bia, that this is her physiological structure. This is what's going to bring about pru revu. This is going to be the intimacy of ona of marriage, and what's being done is an abuse. What's being done is taking an invasion of her privacy. But in the level of Chabalah, it's different, and we point uses the phrase that sofo, that in the end this is going to happen anyway, and so it would affect the nature, both the quality and the quantity of the payments. And so he said perhaps that this would be where Tosus begins, Tsar Demai, where Tosus asks the question, what is the Gemara searching for a Tsar in the world of Bia? We're talking about a Besula. If we're talking about a Besula, so the Tsar is Hasharat HaBesulim, exactly the act of being boil a besula, that is an act of tearing a certain membrane which is covering the opening to the prose door, and that hurts. There's pain. So what's the Gemara asking questions, Sar Demai, and going over to all sorts of different areas? Why not simply call a spade? Speak about the tsar of the bias habesula, and Tosvos points out the chitema also tsar pshita lehashas depater sharei sofo leitzayer bekach, that maybe this is exactly this parallel to what we saw in the Shita Mekubetzes, that since this is going to happen, this is not the tsar that we're speaking about. It's going to happen anyway. That tsar she's going to have, but there may be an additional tsar, a collateral tsar, etc. So, and then Tosis points out, but just a minute, that issue of sofo lovo we saw is a machlokas tanoim in Baba Kama, whether we take into account futures, whether we take into account that which is going to happen under any circumstance, and that's the sugya over there of chash gufna, in terms of the fact that had the fruit grown on the vine would have weakened, it would get sort of worn out. And should that be taken into account? Should that be detracted from the payment of the nezek? Because echshaloyeh, there was going to be a loss, and so that loss should be figured into the issue. That's a machlokes tanoim. And so, where do we put our sugya? And Tosfos responds with two different answers. One answer out of the Ri is that our sugya does not take into account futures. Our sugya is not viewing this Chabalah as being less of a Chabalah because it's going to happen anyway. So why search for all sorts of sources of tsar? Why not speak about the main tsar? So Tosa says that we have an ukimta, that the moment that during the time of the Maisabiya, this pain is being masked by the Hanoas Ha-bia, even in a situation where it is an unwanted bia, but there is physiologically there are nerves and there are sensations, and over here we have a sensation of pleasure that masks the sensation of pain, and the pain that comes later on in the world of halacha, that's called grumma, and grumma benezikin is patur. So we're off on a TKO, we're off on a technicality. The pain that could be the source of the payment is being masked by Hana'a, and the pain that exists post the Bia is already Grama, and so that's why the Gemara searches for another source of pain that would exist, that would not be masked that would be simultaneous with the Maisevia, etc. That's the Teretz of the Ri. Okay? And the Teretz of the Rashba, the Rashmi Shantz, is similar to the Shita Mukubetzet. No. That really our sugi is working according to the Mando Amar, that we take into account the future, and since it's so far lehitztoyer, since the Hasharas HaBesulim is going to happen in the context of marriage, we discount that as being a part of the Maisa Chabala. That which is that pain that she would have felt under all circumstances, we don't take into account. Those are the two approaches within the sugya. The Shita Mekubetzes and the Rashmi Shantz on one hand, and the Ri on the other hand. Correct? That's what we saw. Now, with that background, let's continue to go through the sugya and see where this leads us. Tsar demai, again, that the assumption is we're not concerned over here with the tsar of Hasharas HaBesulim. So what tsar are we dealing with? Amar avua de Shmuel, tsar shechafta al gabe karka, that we have collateral damage. We're talking over here about an ones. It's being done against her will, and she's being pushed around, and so we have pain of an injury that the chavot al gabe karka that would be collateral to the bia. Maskif la Rabbi Zeira, ela me'ata chavata al gabe shirayim hachinami depator. So this is a concept in the Tata Gorecha l'shiurim. Not every rape is on the same level of violence, and so it could be that you'd have one rape that would be very violent, and she would have a lot of tsar. But if we're dealing with a rapist who, where it pushes her on a feather bed, does that mean that in that situation there would be no tsar? We're going to have to investigate the level of violence in a rape in order to know whether there is tsar or whether there's not tsar. V'chi teima hachinam. And if you say, that we take into account all circumstances, there may be tsar in ones, and there may not be tsar in ones. V'hatanya, but how does this work out with the shita of Rav Shimon ben Yehuda? Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, ones eino meshalim es hatsar. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda disagrees with the Chachamim. He says, no. The same way Mafata knows in Shlosha Dvarim, the Ones also gives Shlosha Dvarim. We don't add Tsar in the Ones. I, Lemaise, there's pain. Mipnei, Shesofa, Lehitz Ta'er, Tachas Ba'ala. And so we see that Rav Shimon ben Yehuda does not view the Ones at all in terms of anything collateral. Clearly, there's no, in the context of marriage, there's not going to be any collateral injury. The husband loves his wife. He's not going to throw her down on a hard surface. So, the moment that Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that we have a situation that the pain of the onus is similar to that of the marriage, then we're not talking about anything collateral. We're talking about something which is built into the Maisa Bia. That's not Chavata. Chavata is not built into a Maisa Bia. So we have two questions, and within that same brisa, Amrulo, the Chachamim answered back to him, Eino dome nevelas bonus nevelas beratzon. But our question was that Rav Shimon ben Yehuda's Shita wouldn't get off the ground if the tsar that we're talking about is the tsar of Chavata. That's not sofa litzara tachas ba'ala. Ela, the moment you have an Ela, the Gemara over here is switching tracks, and we're taking the Chavata of Ankarka and tossing it out the window. That's not what we're talking about over here. That's a separate suit. In other words, if the woman was hurt collaterally, so she'll take that person to a court of three dayanim who will deal with chovel. Chovel, in other words, that the rape is the rape, and then we have the fact that she was injured, in other words, from being pushed onto a hard surface. That's a separate matter. It's nothing to do with the tsar of our Mishnah. Elam Rav Nachman, what is the tsar dealt with in our Mishnah? Amar Rabba Bar Avua, tsar shel pisuk raglayim. V'chein hu omer v'tifziki et raglayich l'chol over. That we're dealing with a totally different form of tsar. So to understand the Gemara, I spoke to a Kala teacher and asked her, what is this Gemara talking about exactly? What is the tsar of pisuk raglayim? So she explained to me that women naturally always sit with their feet together. That's their natural, in terms of the way their physiology is, that's their natural position. As opposed to men who tend to spread their legs. You know, you're going onto a subway car, right? So you see all the men, you know, with spread legs. A woman would sit with her legs together as a natural pose, and that's why when she would be on a woman that would ride on a horse, she would ride side saddle. That way she could keep her feet together. That is her natural position. And when we have a situation where she has to spread her legs, then many times that is not a natural situation. That can cause pain. And as the it says, V'chein hu omer, and this is the Ritva. V'ritva omer, just in the Ritva, V'chein hu omer, v'tifsiki es raglai chalover, yesher m'shemevi pasuk zilamdeinu peiru shel pisuk raglayim mahu. That we should know that pisuk raglayim means spreading one's legs. In other words, v'chein hu omer seems to be something on top of that would be dealing with more of a halachic issue than a question of a dictionary definition of tifsuki. But v'chein hu mochiach laze elohochi perusho v'chein mochiach sheish tsar v'pisuk raglayim. Namely, this is not a pain which has to do specifically with the fact that she's a basula. It has to do with the act of bia, that even this zona, who is spreading her legs for every avodah zara, right? We have over here a mashal for someone who would be oved avodah zara in all different areas. Every act of avodah zara is like an act of snut. Each time there is a pain, because each time there is this unnatural position. V'cholzot, she's willing to overcome the pain because she gets such hana'ah out of the avodah zarah. That was the musar that the Navi was giving Klal Yisrael, that Yechezkel was giving Klal Yisrael, that even though there may be pain in terms of the avodah zarah, maybe it costs money, maybe it's a lot of effort, but people are willing to go through that pain because they get such hana'ah from the avodah zarah, just like a zona would go through the pain of pisuk raglayim because he gets hana'ah out of the ma'aseh bia. And so we see over here that this is something that would be even in the course of marriage. That's, in other words, and then everything fits in. Namely, that we're dealing with a pain that Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says you're potter from, because she's going to experience that pain in marriage. And the Chachamim say no, that the pain, there's a difference between the pain of onus and the pain of ratzon, and so there's more of a tsar in the world of onus, that when the individual is pressing, when there's force being used, that causes more of a pain in terms of the unnatural position. And then we would understand where the tsar is coming from. It's not coming from the hasharas habesulim. That's going to happen after marriage. And in terms of this tsar, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says this will also happen after marriage. And the Chachamim said it, you can't compare. But if that's the case, ihachi mafuta nami. If we're dealing with something which is built into the ma'aseh bia, so then a mafuta should also have to, that the mafateh should also have to pay tsar. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba, Baravuha. No. Mashal de mafuta lama dome. Lo adam shamal chaveiro, krashi roin shali vihi pater. That in Achinami, there is this tsar, even a mafuta, but we'll just take it now on the surface, but she's mochelet. She's mochelet. In other words, that she tells the person, do what you want with me, I'm mochelet, and that's why there is no payment. So the Gemara is Shali? What do you mean, the payment is coming to her. Davu aninu, how can she be mochelet, something, a payment which is supposed to go to the father? She's a na'ara. El Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bravua. No, the answer is totally different realm. Pikhos Shebehen Omros Mafuta Ein Latzar. Namely, we're dealing over here with the Pisuk Raglayim, that when it's by force, then there is Tzar. When it's willingly, then there is, we'll call it, there's a discomfort, but it's a discomfort which is not that which would be insignificant in terms of Dine Mamonos. And the examples that are given, Pikrosh Zevoha Kochazin on the Islam are Abaye, There is a slight discomfort, but it's like the discomfort of a bald person taking a shower, that when the hot water hits his head without the covering of the hair, there is an uncomfortable sensation, but it's passing. You know, it's not because of that bald people don't take showers. In other words, it's a passing sensation. Rava Amar Amar Li Bat Rav Chista, my wife, Ki Rivda De Kuslisa. Like the pain, if you were to have a blood test and that you would be pricked for a second by the needle. So in the chenami, you'd be happier not to be pricked by a needle, but it's not something you're going to take the person to court for. And Hu Hadin, the third one, Rav Papa, Amar Li Bas Abasura, his wife, Kinama Akusha Bachanichai. It's something that's grating, it's a little uncomfortable, but it's not something you're not going to eat bread because you have a little uncomfortable sensation in your gums when you're eating the hard bread. Okay, in other words, so we have over here, just to summarize the sugya, is that we have a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. The Chachamim, namely our Mishnah, and in the Braisa, the Amrulo, they hold that in an ones there is sa'ar of pisuk raglayim, as opposed to mafuta, like in marriage, that there's no significant sa'ar of pisuk raglayim. Dafka, the forced pisuk raglayim, is what causes the sa'ar. If it's not forced, so there's an insignificant discomfort. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says, no, there's tsar of, in other words, the reason that ones is patur is because sofo lehitztayer tachas ba'ala, namely that the maisa bia itself, whether we're dealing, that the maisa bia itself brings about tsar, and therefore the ones doesn't pay the tsar, because echshelo yes sofo lehitztayer tachas ba'ala, she's going to get married. The Rishon ben Yehuda is the Svara of Chash Gufna. This is like the Rash Mishans at the end of Tosfos. This is like the Shinta Mekubetzas in terms of Sheves Veripui. So it's basically a machlokes as to whether the Tsar of Pisuk Raglayim comes from the Etzem Maisa Bia, that's Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, or comes from the Bia of Ones, the Bia Neged Ritzona, that's the Shita of the Chachamim. Okay, that's what we have within the sugya. However, the Rishonim point out that things are not as simple in the sugya as they would appear as we just read through. And here we come to Tosfos. So far, so good? Okay. Ihachi mafuta nami, yesh latzar pisuk raglayim kamo anusa, va'amai ko'amar ein domen niv'elas ba'ones li'niv'elas b'rotza. Tosfos was bothered, the question, ihachi mafuta nami, on whom is this question being raised? Namely, where do we find that a mafuta does not receive demei tsar? So Tosfos points out that l'chora we have two sources. We have masnisin and we have masnisa. We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that a mafuta nosen shlosha dvarim va'ones arba, that the mafuta does not get tsar, and we have the Braisa, that that when Rav Shimon ben Yehuda spoke about the fact that an ones is patur, they said to him, "Ma pitom eino doma nevelas bonus v'tzelus baratzon." Only a mafuta is patur, but an ones is chayev. So we have two sources that a mafuta is patur. On which of them is the Gemara asking? Namely, the moment that the Gemara said they were not talking any longer about tsar of chavata, we're talking about tsar of pisuk raglayim, and this tsar appears to be universal. So Gemara asks, "Ihachi mafuta nami?" Is Gemara asking on the Mishnah, or is the Gemara asking on the Braisa? So Tosfos began that the Gemara is asking on the source that merely preceded it. That the Gemara is asking, "Amai ka'amar? Why did Chachamim say to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, ein dome neveles ba'ones l'neveles b'ratza?" If we're talking about chavata, That makes sense. But if we're talking about Pisuk Raglayim, L'chor, at this point in the Gemara, is just as much by the Nevelet Beratzon as by the Nevelet Ba'ones. That's the way Tosus began. However, Tosus says, V'amar mori harav dodi zal, I'm reading according to the gears of the Maharsha, da'amas nisa lo have matzi lemifrach. You can't say the question is on the brisa. Amai ones chayav and mafata patur. Kevan shesofa lehitzar bekach tachad bala, dehafilu beulam it's teeris bekach. You can't say the question is on the Braisa. The Braisa, the whole machlokes between the Rav Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbanan is, do we say sofa lehitztayer takas bala or ain't sofa lehitztayer takas bala? That namely, that the Braisa is assuming. The Braisa is assuming, just one second. I'm sorry. The Braisa is assuming that everyone holds that we have the chash of chash gufna. Everyone holds that we take into account what is going to be. And so Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says, there's going to be tzar when she gets married, so therefore she's pater from the tzar currently, even by ones. What do Rabbanan say? No, that we're not going to, there's not going to be tzar later on. It's ein sofo lehitztaer later on. Namely, that the bia beratzon, that there is... Then the Bia Baratzon is not going to be the same degree of Tsa'ar. So how could the Gemara then ask, Ihachi Mafuta Nami, that you should have a payment by Mafuta? The Braisa is assuming that according to Rabbanan, there is no pain in Mafuta. That's exactly the machlokas between Rav Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbanan. The Rabbanan agree with Rav Shimon ben Yehuda that we take into account the future, but they say, but eino doma nevelas ba'onis le'nevelas beratzon, that there is no pain. So that's why there's a p'tur. How can the Gemara then ask, ihochi mafuta nami, that a mafuta should be chayav? Namely, within the braisa, there is nothing to be machayev, the mafuta. There's no pain by the mafuta within the braisa. Eino doma nevelas beratzon, nevelas beratzon. If you're going to have a question, the question is only going to be on the Mishnah. That once we say that we're dealing with the Tzara Pisuk Raglayim, so why does the Mishnah distinguish between Ones and Mefata? Tzara of Pisuk Raglayim is universal. And then the Gemara answers, no, the Tzara of Pisuk Raglayim in a case of Mefuta is insignificant. Namely, that the question of the Gemara is not on the Braisa. The question of the Gemara is on the Mishnah. That is the way Tosus over here learns the sugya, that within the Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says so far let's tar tachas ba'ala. They don't say to him, no, that's not taken into account. They say that lemaisa there is not going to be tzar. Eino domen nevelas be'onis nevelas beratzon. So the Gemara couldn't ask on the Braisa that mafuta should pay. The Chachamim say in the Braisa, there's no pain in Mefuta. But if there's going to be a question, it'll be a question within the Mishnah. That if we say that we're dealing with Pisuk Raglayim, and that is universal, why distinguish between Ones and Ratzon? That's the question of the Gemara. And then the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there Pikcho Shebein Omros Mefuta Ein Latzar. That which we saw black and white already in the Braisa, that the Gemara is going to introduce also into the Mishnah. But the question was on the Mishnah, and the answer is on the Mishnah. What we see over here in Tosos, the reason I bring the Tosos, is that Tosos is assuming that the whole concept of the Svara of Sofa Litzar Tachas Vala is the Braisa, not the Mishnah. The Braisa is assuming that we're dealing with Sofa Litzar Tachas Vala. Namely, we pointed out earlier there's machokus between the Ri and the Rash Mishans. How do we learn the sugya over here on Amud Aleph? Is it assuming Sofa Litzar Tachas Bala, or saying no, that the reason they search for a different tzar is because of Hanoas Tashmish, because of Grama? So, Lechora, this Tosfos is understanding like the Ri. namely that the Braisa brings in the concept, is Macharish the concept of Sofa Tachas Ba'ala. The Braisa is assuming Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Chash Gufna. The Chacham and the Amrulo and the Braisa agree with Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, but the Mishnah wasn't working with that. The Mishnah was working that Ein Chash Gufna, that we don't take into account the Sofa Lehitz Tayer, and the only reason that we ask about Tsar is because of technical issues. That's the way that this Tosis is assuming, that the Mishnah and the Braisa are two different worlds. The Braisa is a world of Sofa Litztar, taking into account the future, and the Mishnah doesn't take into account the future, and only searches for, and the Gemara only searches for a side Tsar because of technical reasons. Okay, that the, you don't, in other words, that within, if we were to learn, like the Rash Mishans, this Tosis would not make sense. Like according to the Rashmi Shans, there's no difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah is also assuming Sofo Tachas Ba'ala. That's why there's no Sheves, that's why there's no Boshes, that's why there's no classic Tsar. And within the Sugya, the Gemara is just asking, you know, it's just pointing out that which the Chacham already pointed out. Namely, the Gemara is there's a certain redundancy in the Gemara, that the Gemara is stressing the fact that the Chachamim are saying that really there is no Tsar b'mefuta, even though the Chachamim had already said that in the Braisa, the Gemara just wants to pull it out a little clearer. Okay, that's what we have over here in Tosos Ihachi. Tosos Krashi Royin Shaliva Hipater. Tosos over here was just bothered by a very, very technical Nakuda, that in the Gemara in Baba Kama, when it talks about how seriously do we take the individual? So we say it makes a difference between, the Gemara Baba Kama distinguishes between krashi rayin shali and tachbolbi. There's a difference when I tell someone, tear my shirt, and I tell him, punch me in the nose. That when I tell him, tear my shirt, then he's pater if he follows your instructions, even if you didn't say, al menas liftor, and I promise you I'm not going to take you to court. But within the punching someone in the nose, we assume that he wasn't really serious until he says, al menas liftor. That there's a difference between when a person tells someone, damage my clothing or damage my body. That damage my clothing, there's an umdana that he meant, I don't care. Damage my clothing and I don't care. When he says, damage my body, it's more just of a, you know, where it's, but damage my body, but you should know I'm going to take you to court. Unless he says, al menas liftor. Here we're dealing with damage my body. And we don't have the phrase Almanat Liftor. So it says, Afagav de lo amra manas liftor, ikilamemar de machmas hanoas bi'ila macha legabre. That in this area where there are other factors involved, that there's also a fact, and we're dealing with mafuta, there's a factor of pleasure. So when she says, Bavakasha, I'll be happy to be intimate with you, even if she doesn't say the words Almanas Liftor, she means Almanas Liftor, because there is, it's not a classic Chabalah, but rather we have over here a mixture of motivations. Okay, yeah?
Just going back to the previous Tosfos. Yeah? It sounds like the Tosfos is saying that the Tsar in the Braisa and the Tsar in the Mishnah are different?
No, I don't think that the Tsar is different. The Gemara says that the Tsar is Pisuk Raglayim at this point. But in the Braisa, the Braisa is assuming that according to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Sofa Litztaer patters even the Ones. And according to the Chachamim, Sofa Litztaer does not patter the Ones because there is not the same Tsar in Niveles Beratzon. That's the Chachamim. Namely, the Chachamim already say that there is not the same level of Tsar. So how could the Gemara ask, Yihachi Mefuta Nami, that in Mefuta there's also Tsar? The Brais already said that there's no tsar in mafuta.
Because ain't no doma
means that this is that there is that we you can't say she's going to feel this tsar anyway. She's not going to feel this tsar anyway. In marriage is like pitui, and in pitui there's no tsar. She's not going to feel the tsar anyway. So how can the Gemara ask yihachi mafuta nami? That's the question of Tosos. But in the Mishnah, we don't find the concept of Sofa Litztaer, and the Chachamim disagree simply whether It's going to be afterwards. At the moment we say that there's pisuk raglayim, itachen that it's universal. So yachin nefuta nami. Then the Gemara comes to the same conclusion as the Amrulo, that the pikcho shema omros sheba mefuta ein latzar.
And what is the svar of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda that because sofli tzaris already now is part of pisuk raglayim is every single time?
The svar of Shimon ben Yehuda is that this pisuk raglayim is universal. Like we saw, the Ritva said that even a zona has this tzar of pisuk raglayim. That this is universal. She's going to have this tzar also in marriage. And therefore, so for let's start, there's no reason to be machayev.
So for let's start, it's, I understand that Gabi has stars for Sula. It's a one-time thing. So instead of happening in 2 years, it happens now. Pisuk raglayim is something that happens every single time.
That's exactly. So why should she pay for the first pisuk raglayim, which happens out of marriage? She's going to have this pain every time.
But all the other times is with the consent.
So that's the Amrulo. That's exactly, you know, it's you are.
Amrulo is saying no, there's no pain in the second.
The Amrulo is that there is no pain when it's Beratzon.
Correct. I'm not saying that there is no pain. I'm saying there's pain every single time. Just the time there's consent, so she's mochelet.
Doesn't say she's mochelet. Ain't no domen nevelet ber. I don't, you know, again, Tosas did not understand like you, okay? Tosas says, Amas nisa lo ravimatsi lemifrach amai ones chayev kemen shesofel it's tair bekach tachas bala filu beulam it's tairis bekach. Afagav, in other words, the question is assuming that we have a universal pain. But within the context of the Braisa, they're assuming the pain is not universal. That's the Amrulo is saying it's not a universal pain. In other words, we have a machlokis, you know, it's whether the bottom line of the Gemara is that the Pisuk Raglayim is universal or not. According to the Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, even the bottom line is that this pain is universal, and we have Sofa Litztar, and the Sofa Litztar is the reason for the Ptur Be'ones. According to the Mishnah and the Amrulo, we say, no, this pain is a pain of forced Bia. It's not a pain of consensual bia. Therefore, the mafuta is patur, and the ones is chayev, and there is no sofa. Yeah?
I just want to clarify one thing. We talk about tzar, we don't talk about psychological tzar.
Tzar is, in question of how you define psychological, we're talking over here that she feels pain. There's a nervous system, and the nervous system causes pain.
Understanding Gemara that because when she's with her husband, she doesn't feel psychologically disturbed, but when she's being raped, that's
the knas. That you know, it's the knas is for the abuse. The knas is for the abuse, and the boches and the pagam are for the objective loss of value and the objective busha of her status having been changed. And then the tsar is a physiological pain, like nezek tsar, ripui, sheves, and boches. What you're pointing out is that for some people the pain may be greater, some people, you know, everyone has different thresholds of pain. But that we have over here a physiological pain, which would be across the board in cases of ones, and which not exist in cases of, according to the Chachamim, would not exist in cases of pitui. Okay. What is missing in this sugya is in the Rishonim, al-atar meaning in Rashi and Tosfos, is a discussion of what is the havamin and the maskana over here in terms of kra shirayim. What in the Havamina did the Gemara think that when the woman agrees to be intimate with this individual out of the framework of marriage, that is the equivalent of krashi ra'in shalivahi pater? And the Maskana says, ma pita, this is krashi ra'in da'aba. And on that level, I have no right to get involved. What was the Havamina and what is the Maskana? So over here, I just want to bring us back to terminology that we used at the beginning of the year, and then to see the Rashash, his take on it, to see the Ritva, and then to see where we can take it perhaps one step further. If you recall, back on Daf Kaf Tes Amud Aleph, we had the question as to whether in the world of Pitui, the daughter is allowed to be mochelet, whether the concept of mechila applies to knas or doesn't apply to knas. And we dealt with the whole question of the nature of knas, the nature of mammon. Mammon is a chov which is there from the time of the Maisa. It's shayach and mechila. Knas is something which is up in the air, perhaps until the time of Bezdin. Maybe it's not shayach and mechila, or maybe machokas rishonim, how to understand knas, and that will be the issue of mechila. The Ramban over there pointed out that yitachein, that there are two other, there are two parallel terms that can also explain situations where even if mechila isn't shayach, we have two other terms that perhaps would be shayach. One is whether it was siluk, and the other was mazik birishus. Siluk, we said that a person has a right to be mevater, to forego. Right? Person has a right to forego a right that was given to him by the Torah. We have rights of Yerusha. A person can forego Yerusha. It has nothing to do with Mechila. Yerusha is also a davar shelo bala olam. But a person can say, dinu dvarim lesle binachasayach. I don't want to have anything to do with your property. Even if you die, I don't want to be a yoresh. I don't want to have any connection. That's a meaningful statement. We saw this Malchokis Rishonim is not only by dinim d'rabbanan or even by dinim d'oraisa. The Ramban assumes it's even by dinim d'oraisa. I'd say the Yerusha of the husband is a din d'rabbanan. Yerusha of the children is din d'oraisa. The Ramban assumes this is, we have this concept of siluk. Even when the Torah gives me a right, I can say, I forego the right. Then we have a din of mazik birishut, where the Ramban quotes this Gemara in Baba Kama of Krashi Raim Shali, where he says this is not mechila that I am, that I, that there is damage, but I am passing on the right to collect the damage. And this is not siluk, but this is mazik birishus, meaning to me this is not mazik. I am saying that there is no damage. When I tell you, tear my shirt, I am saying to me, tearing my shirt is not damage. You didn't do anything to me. You didn't harm me. You didn't, there's no need for here for any compensation because you didn't do anything. I give you permission to damage, meaning that this is not a halachic damage. This is not something that has monetary consequences. That's the concept of mazik birishus, okay? As opposed to mechila. So given the fact that we have these terms, will that help us understand over here, perhaps, the Havamina and the Maskana of the Gemara? So let's look together at the Rashash in the back of the Gemara. I didn't send you there. We'll learn it together. I didn't send you there because I didn't know there was a Rashash. But when I get Mara Makomos. But he has an interesting take on the Sugya. You have it on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis in the Rashash. Yeah. Gemara, Mashal, Dimafuta, Vechule, Krashi, Roin, Shali, Vehipater, Shali, Davu, Aninu. The Rash quotes the entire Sugya, the Havamina, and the Maskana. Vekasha, Ech Salka Daitach, Shechovel, Shetuchal, I'm sorry, Limchol Mamon, Sheena, Shela. I mean, the Gemara, everyone knows that the father is the recipient of all of these payments. So if the father is the recipient of all of these payments, what was the Havamina that she could be mochel the father's money? Va'od di imkein boshes upigam name. And so why stop at tsar? There is also a concept of boshet, there's also a concept of pigam. These are also payments. So let's say that when she's mafuta, that she was mochelet on boshes and pigam as well. If we're going to use, if the Gemara is going to assume in the Havamina that we have an ability of mechila, why limit it to tsar? And the more important question is, this is not hers. This is his. V'nir eli, de kasalka daitach, de ta'avas hano'as tashmish, shkulala yoser mehatsar, ad shelo nechshav la tsar, lima'uma neged ha'hana'a, v'lachein dome kemi shelo hayala tsar klal. How is, you know, is taking the Rashash is using very Balabatish terminology. What is the Rashash saying over here in the Havamina? Again, Kasalka that Havamina is Tava Tana'a Tashmit Shikula La Yoser Mehatzar. We're dealing with a girl who is being seduced. She knows that there is going to be some pain. However, she is much more interested in the pleasure. Ad shelo nechshalavra hatzar l'meuma neged ha'hana'a, that in her mind, when she weighs things, the tzar is totally insignificant compared to the pleasure she is going to receive. V'lachein dome kamo shelo haya l'tzar klal. In other words, in her mind, in her thought process, the tzar is so overwhelmed by the pleasure, it's as though there is no tzar. V'ama yikabil ha'av tashlumen. Then what is over here the Havamina of the Gemara? What is the process? What is the process? This is Mazik Birshus. Namely, that this is the concept that the Ramban brought in of Mazik Birshus. There is no damage. There's no payment because there's no damage. So the father can collect damages, but there's no damage over here. The father collects whatever monetary compensation there should be. But in this situation, there is no compensation which is on the table. Had there been tsar, then there would have been a payment. But what she is saying is that this is not tsar. This is not tsar. This is not pain. This is the same way someone says, tear my shirt. In other words, this is not damage. So she's saying this is not tsar. That's the Havamina. What's the Maskana? Aval ha-gemara lo kibla ha-isvara, d'ham b'kom makom tsar havela. What does the Gemara then, according to the, again, to, we're moving over to halachic terminology, the Gemara says, no, this is not mazik birshus. What is this? This is mechila. And how can she be mochel? The father's rights. Namely, that our the terminology over here, the havamina and the maskana, is that in the havamina it thought that it was mazik birshus. That mazik birishus means as though there's no tsar. The maskana is, no, there's tsar, but I'm mochel the tsar. So in the havamina, the father would be out of the picture. In the maskana, who are you to mochel the tsar? The tsar has to be compensated. The compensation goes to the father. Who are you to be mochel the compensation? Yes?
Can we ask him a man of shock? I mean, if there was no tsar, then it really is not even mazik birishus.
Right, so I'm not agreeing with this Rashash at all. Just pointing out that the Rashash was bothered by the issue, and he solved the problem by saying we have a Havamina that there is no tsar, we have a maskana that there is tsar. So in the Havamina it's mazik birishus, in the maskana it's mochel. That's the Rashash's take in order to get in a Havamina and a maskana. But this was dealt by the Rishonim, but not like the Rashash. The Rashash had in front of him Rashi and Tosas. He didn't have the Ritva. He didn't have Kovetz Mefarshim like we have with all of these Rishonim. He didn't have the Ritva. The Ritva wasn't known at the time of the Rashash on this Masechta. And so let's look at the Ritva and see how the Ritva deals with the issue. And the Ritva deals with it, as Friedman points out, differently than the Rashash. He's not moving that the Havamina didn't understand the Maskana and the Maskana didn't understand the Havamina. We're talking about apples and oranges, but rather we're talking within the world of apples and apples, but b'chol zot, there is a difference. So the Ritva says, Mashal Mafuta, you have it on the page that I thought I said it for you. Mashal Mafuta l'maha davar dom. Elo adem shan chavera kurashi rayin shliva hipater. Klomar. Af al pi she yesh la tzar. Harehi machlata, o mechilata mechila, ka'omer lechaveiro, kra shirayin sheli, vihi pater, kevan sha'amar lo beferush, vihi pater, have a ptur. Ma she'enkin bechabalot, mistama kishamar lo chabol bi abanas liftor ka'amar ki isa beperakachovel. Namely, that the Ritva over here points out that it's so clear over here that she wants this act that we don't even need the words hipater li. It's obvious that this, as Tosas pointed out, is a true blue mechila. The parchinon hai krashi rain shalihu, adaraba krashi rain shal chaverihu, hashi rain shal avihan ninu, ve'eni yachola lemachla v'kashali. If you read the Gemara Kipshuta, the Gemara thought that there was total mechila, even to the degree that she doesn't have to say the words Almanas Lishtor because it's so obvious that she's mochelet the pain. The Gemara says, just a minute, it's not her pain, it's not her payment, it's the father's. V'kashali, hechita rabba baravu abaha. How can you have such a havamina? How can, in other words, the Gemara, we're dealing with Amoraim. Amoraim know where the payment goes. How did the Gemara think that the mechila would work? V'yeshlomar, de'ihu savar, shelo zichta Torah la'av, ela tsa'ar da'anusa. The who, wow, it was cut off. I'm sorry. How did that happen? Okay. I'm sorry. I'll just read the keta as it is inside. V'yesh lamar di'ihu savar shelo zichsa Torah la'av ela tsa'ar da'anusa the who dumya d'chabalos da'alma aval kishehi vitra gufa lo zacha la rachmana midei. Vanan parchinan, de gufa zachi la rachmana, zachi le rachmana, lechol tsar uboshes, shiyavola afilu liritsona. Maybe I'll just write it. Since you don't have it in front of you. What? But it's cut off.
But it went back.
It went back. Okay, that's not it. That's me. Okay. I'm still in the previous century. I'm sorry. The word gufa is broken in half. Okay, so if you will just follow to after the two dots, two lines from the bottom. Okay, so you have it in front of you. Ihu savar, the hava mina was, lo zichsa Torah la'av ela tsar da'anusa, dehu dumya da'chabalot da'alma. Aval kishehi vitra gufa lo zacha le rachmana minei va'anan parchinan de gufa zachi le rachmana lechol tsar uboshe shiyavala afilu leritzona. What over here is the Ritva saying, which is different than the Rashash? If you go, the Rashash says the Havamina was that it's mazik birishus. And the maskana is, no, that it's mechila, and mechila, she has no right to be mochel, that which belongs to the father. On what point is the Ritva disagreeing? He's making over here an assumption that covers both through the Havamina and the maskana. Namely, when he was dealing with the issue of mechila, he says, I have no understanding of how this could possibly be. If we're dealing in the world of Mechila, then there's no way of understanding our sugya. So what is the Ritva saying? We're talking about which world? We're talking about Mazik Birshus from beginning to end. In Hava, Mina, and Maskana, we're talking about Mazik Birshus. Mazik Birshus means that it's my body, and I am saying that there is no damage. The Hava Mina is that she can say that. It's my body and there is no damage and therefore there's nothing for the father to collect. Namely, the Hava Mina, he learns just like the Rashash, that Kishehi Vitra Gufa Lo Zacha Le Rachmana Mina, that the father can't get any payment if she says that there's no damage. But what's the Maskana, a very radical Maskana? What does it matter, meaning? It's the father's body. It's not her body. In other words, that we are taking it to the degree that she has no right to say mazik birishus because her body belongs to her father. Her father can say, go ahead. You know, you want to be intimate with my daughter, go ahead. That the father can say, but she can't say it. V'anan parchinan gufa zachilei rachmana l'chol tsaru boshe shiyavu ba afilu liritzona. Namely, that it's not her body. It's not hers that she can claim that we have over here no damage. Had it been hers, then certainly the father would not be in the picture at all. Mechila is not. We're not talking about it all in our sugi. We're talking in our sugi about masik birishus. But the question is, to whom does her body belong? So the hava mina was that her body belonged to her. The maskana is that since we saw that the father can hand her over to a menuvel v'mukashlin, that her body belongs to the father. Perhaps just to maybe tone it down a little bit, what he's not saying over here is that the girl necessarily is the property of the father. What he's saying is that in terms of anything having to do with the Maisa Bia, that realm goes to the father. In other words, that the Maisa, that since the father can hand her over to be Mekudeshet, and Kedushin implies that this, the, her husband is going to be boil her, so the father is in charge of her body in terms of Bia, therefore anything having to do with the realm of Bia, be it Boshes, be it Pigam, be it Knas, be it Tsar, all of this is the father's to decide as to whether it is damage or it's not damage. It's not for her to decide. So we have over here, we, you know, it's a not a havamina that we're dealing with mazik birshus and the father's out of the picture, and the maskana is dealing with mechila and the father's in the picture, but rather the havamina and the maskana we're dealing with mazik birshus. But the question is, to whom does the woman's body belong? Klape, the everything surrounding the act of bia. That's the ritva. I just wanted to raise an option that I think would help us understand. Well, maybe let's see, first see the problem and then see the option. I came to the option first and then saw the problem. Actually, didn't see what the problem was, but most people see the problem and then come to the option. So we'll do it like most people. Okay. We learned, if you recall, a number of times, the Rambam in Hilchos Nara Besula, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says, deals with the fact that the Nara is Toenet, that I was raped, and the person claims, no, I didn't rape you, I only seduced you, and the Nara wants 4 payments, and he's willing to give 3 payments, and it's a Moda B'miktas, and we saw over there that the Rambam held it was Moda B'miktas, and the Ravid says, it's not Moda B'miktas, because she can't claim, the father has to claim. We dealt with that, you know, it's more than once. We came to it more than once within the Gemara. However, we learned the Ravid as the Ravid is written in our Rambam, in the Frankel Rambam. But in the Kesef Mishnah, he had a different girsa in the Ravid. And that's the last source over here. Umatzasi kosev od benuschos acheros bahasagos vize lushono. Harei hoda b'miksas hataina. In other words, again, the Ravid is working off of the Rambam. Amar Avraham. Ani omer shehatzar l'atzma ke'ein sh'ar chabolos d'tzar d'gufa lo zachila rachmana. Hilkach einkan mode b'miktsas. The hanach gimel dvarim da aviha ninhu, masha hoda la aviha hoda, masha kafar la kafar. Namely, that the kakosa of hatur b'shem haravid. Namely, that there's another girsa in the ravid, that the reason the ravid disagreed with the Rambam was not because who is towing. Is it the father? Is it the daughter? The Ravid is willing to say, even if the father is towing. And maybe the Rambam said, he meant who. Maybe it was a Glitzianer. And he said, he meant who. Okay, that was just a joke. The Rambam maybe was, you know, it's can't be caught on the fact that he mentioned the daughter. He meant the father, not the daughter. But the problem is that tsar, that which is between the two claims, that the family wants tsar, and the perpetrator claims it was consensual. There was no tsar. The reason it's not moda b'miktas, says the Ravid, is because tsar is a payment of a totally different nature. That even though all the payments of surrounding bia were given to the father, tsar remains her realm. Tsar de gufa lo zachi le rachmana. That the tsar is hers, and since the tsar is hers, therefore she can be mevater. She can say, I don't want the tsar, but it's not part and parcel of the package that of all of the other tashlumen. What does everyone under the sun ask on the Ravid? It's against our Gemara. It's the Havamina of our Gemara. It's not the Maskana. The Havamina of the Gemara was that she can be Mevateret on the Tsar. And that's why Mefut doesn't get Tsar, because she's Mevateret. Mazik Birshus. The Maskana is either there's Tsar even by Mefuta, but she's Mochelet. That's the Rashash. Or she can't be mevater, her body belongs to her father. But ech shelo yiyeh, what the Ravid over here is writing, tzar de gufa lozochi la rachmana, lozochi le rachmana, the tzar of the guf was never given to the father, that's the havamina, that's not the maskana. How can the Ravid go against the maskana of our Gemara? That's what everyone asks on the Ravid. But l'chora, let's just go back to our Gemara. The Gemara is asking questions in stages. When the Gemara starts on the end of the second line, Ela Amar Rav Nachman, we are moving off of Chavata, we are moving over into the realm, a different realm of Tzar. Amar Rabba Ravuha, Tzar Shal Pisuk Raglayim. V'cheinu Omer Batisuki Es Raglayach L'chol Over. At this moment in the Gemara, what is the Gemara assuming about Tzar Pisuk Raglayim? Is it only in the realm of Ones, or is it in every Bia? Is it built into every Bia? It's built into every Bia. That's what the Ritva pointed out. So they mean the Pasuk, V'cheinu Omer, that even a Zona, who is Nivelet, right and left, she has Tzar of Pisuk Raglayim. She's willing to override it because of the pleasure of the Bia. And that's the Musar that Yechezkel gives Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Gemara asks, Ihochi Mefuta Nami. That's what Gemara asks. If this Tzar is really universal, Pisuk Raglayim, why say that only an Ones pays and not a Mefuta? On this point, the Gemara asks, oh, in Mefuta, she is Mevateret. She is Mochelet, Mazik Birishus, Vechule. In this point of the Gemara, when the Gemara assumes that it is universal, the Gemara raises this option that she's Mevateret, and the Gemara knocks it down, no da'avuahi. Either that, again, like the Rashash, she wants to be Mochelet, but she can't because it's the father's, or we're talking Mazik Birishus, but her body belongs to her father. But then the Gemara moves over, Ela Amar Rav Nachman, Pikro Shebehen Omros, Mefuta En Latzar. Namely, all of this is within an assumption that the Tzar of Pisuk Raglayim is universal. But then the Gemara says, no, there really is no Tzar by Mefuta, there is no Tzar in marriage, it's only in the world of Ones that there is Tzar. How would that help us explain the Ravid, or in other words, what is really the bottom line of the Gemara? Does a woman's body really belong to her father? Why did the Gemara think that the woman's body really belonged to the father, even in the world of Tsar? Because he can hand her over to her husband, and there'll be Tsar. But that's only assuming there's going to be Tsar universally. Then we'll say that since the father can hand his daughter over to whoever he wants to marry, he is in charge of her Tsar. However, the maskana of the Gemara is that there is no tsar of Pisuk Raglayim in marriage. There is no tsar of Pisuk Raglayim in marriage. So the father has nothing to do with his tsar. His connection to the girl is he can force her to marry whoever he wants. But within marriage, there is no tsar. Once within marriage, there is no tsar. So the father will get boshes, pigam, because he can hand her over to a maisa bia. So any payments connected with the Maisa Bia are coming to him. But Tsar isn't intrinsically connected with Maisa Bia for the Maskana of the Gemara. So the Tsar remains her Tsar. It's not his Tsar. Namely, the Gemara previously that said that the Tsar goes to the father, that her body belongs to him in terms of everything, including Tsar, because it assumed that the Tsar was part and parcel of the world of Bia. Every Bia has Tsar. Every Bia has Pisuk Raglayim, even a Zona. But then when the Gemara says, Pikhal Shemen Omros, no, the Tsar is only in the world of Ones. It's not in the world of Mefuta. So then the Tsar is no longer within the father's no longer the Balabayas on the Tsar. He's the Balabayas on marriage. Marriage is a Maisabiyah. So he's the Balabayas on the Pkam, on the Boshes, but not on the Tsar. And that could very well be what the Ravid is saying. The Ravid is working the Maskana of the Sugya. The maskana of the sugya, the tsar can revert to the daughter because it's her body and it's her tsar, and it's only going to be tsar in a case of ones, and in a case of pitui, she's saying, it's my body. There's no there is no damage over here on the level of tsar. This is something that we have. the Mazik Birshus, and in the Maskan of the Gemara, Yitachain, that is correct. Only in the Havamina, when we thought that that piece of Kohanim was universal, then the Gemara said, what do you mean? It's the father's, because it's built into Bia, and the father's in charge of the woman in terms of Bia. But if it's not built into Bia, then it can go back to being hers. Okay, so that's what we Lufini's Daiti, that's what we have over here within the sugya. Again, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda holds, like that Havamina, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda holds that the tsar is universal, and that it really, in Ones, doesn't pay tsar, because she's sofalavo, in marriage is going to be tsar. But Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. They disagree with him in the Maskan of the Gemara, and say that tsar is not universal, only applies in the case of Ones, not in the case of Pitoy, or in the case of Rut, or in the case of marriage. Okay, yeah? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, in Achinami, there is a minimal discomfort. But the minimal discomfort is like the hot water on the bald head, is like the prick of the needle, etc. No, it's not a question of mochelet. It's nothing which is actionable. You can't take someone to a court because he took blood from you and you had pain. The pain of that pain is so temporary that it's not considered to be meaningful in a court setting. It's what I call pachas ben shava pruta. It's not a meaning. It's not that there's no pain. No one loves to give blood. Right? It's like an injection. Right? In other words, the kid will scream when he gets an injection, or something. The parent holding the kid will scream when the needle goes in. But lemaisa, it goes in, goes out. Gamarnu. This is not called tsar when you have this very 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 temporary. Instantaneous, like after a split second, there's no longer that same maybe other pains. So the other pains, you can claim my arm hurts me, for weeks afterwards. That's something. But the fact that there was a prick, the fact that when you bit on something, it originally scraped your gum. That's not a pain that you're going to take. Rice Krispies to court, because when you begin the Rice Krispies, it irritated your gum. It has to be something which is more meaningful. So that's the in a chenami there is a minimal pain, but it's insignificant in terms of payment. That's mafuta ein latzar as an actionable pain. Okay, we will continue. Okay, so learn the Gemara down to the bottom of the learn the Gemara down to the bottom of the Amud with Rashi and Tosfos, and then I'll add more Mar Makamos, but you have more than enough to keep you busy for a few minutes. Beseder. Okay, now it's down to the two dots, one line from the bottom.